Good morning. We are again on Daf Tzadi Dalet of Aleph, page Kuftet of the Ein Yaakov Mavar. We read this Gemara a few times. Read part of it again through quickly. Gemara says, "Lamarbe hamisra ulshalom ein keitz, upon the one with greatness and dominion and boundless peace, v'gomer," which is pasuk in Yeshaya, and it's a nevuah about the birth of Chizkiyah Hamelech. Amar Rabbi Tanchum darish bar kafar v'tzipari. Why is every mem in the middle of a word open, a regular mem? And in this word, marbe, there's a final mem in the middle of the word. Hashem wanted to make Chizkiyahu Mashiach, v'sancheriv Gog Magog, and Sancheriv, the king of Ashur, Gog Magog. Amram midat hadin, ifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is midat hadin said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbeinu Sholom, Rebbeinu Sholom, how can you make him Mashiach when he didn't sing Shira? The David HaMelech sang Shira, he wasn't Mashiach, and Chizkiyah didn't sing Shira after the miracles you did for him, and you do want to make him Mashiach. That's a challenge of the Midas HaDin. Skip to page Kuf Yud Aleph, second line. Amar Sar HaOlam Fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Sar HaOlam said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Aseh Tzivonot Tzadik Zeh, do the will of this tzaddik. In other words, the Sar HaOlam argued to make Chizkiyah Mashiach. The Midas HaDin argued not to make him Mashiach, and a Sar HaOlam argued to make him Mashiach. We've been talking about the fourth explanation of this Gemara, the explanation of the Arizal, that Hashem wanted to make Chizkiyah Mashiach ben Yosef. And we saw yesterday, based on the writings of Vilna Gaon, that Mashiach ben Yosef is associated with Midas Hadin, with tshuva, with good deeds, as opposed to Mashiach ben David, which is associated with chesed. Mashiach ben David will come at some point, no matter what, whether we merit, whether we don't merit, as opposed to Mashiach ben Yosef, whose coming is tied to our deeds. So it fits very well that it's the Midas HaDin, which is arguing not to make Chizkiyah Mashiach, based on the Arizal that connected Mashiach ben Yosef, Chizkiyah with Mashiach ben Yosef. As I've alluded to a number of times, there's a sefer called Kol HaTor, written by Rav Hillel Rivlin of Shklov, son of Rav Binyamin of Shklov. Rav Binyamin of Shklov was one of the major students of the Vilna Gaon. His son, Rav Hillel, was a younger student of the Vilna Gaon. This is a sefer about Mashiach ben Yosef, as we'll see excerpts from today. There's a lot of controversy about whether it is a legitimate sefer that presents legitimate views of the Vilna Gaon. Part of the reason for the controversy is the content, as we'll see, and part of it is the history of the manuscript, which only appeared piecemeal over the 1800s in the hands of various students of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, as the sefer itself discusses, the Vilna Gaon was born in 1720. He died in 1797. In the early 1800s, with his encouragement, obviously before he died, in the early 1800s, several groups of his students made Aliyah. And if you ever hear the expression, the Yishuv HaYashan, the old yeshuv in Yerushalayim, those are the students of the Vilna Gaon. They're called the Yeshuv HaYashan, as opposed to the later settlements, the Yeshuv HaChadash, which is the settlements that started in the late 1800s, early 1900s, connected with Zionism and with persecution in Europe, pogroms in Russia, and so on. The Yeshuv HaYashan was the very idealistic, religious, idealistic Aliyah of the early 1800s, of the students of the Vilna Gaon. That is all undisputed, that the Vilna Gaon encouraged that, and that that happened. Baal Shem Tov also encouraged, apparently, Baal Shem Tov didn't leave any writings, but apparently the Baal Shem Tov also encouraged Aliyah because a number of his students, or the students of his student, the Magid of Mitzrich, made Aliyah. The Baal HaTanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, encouraged it. later, when we find some Gedolim, some Hasidic Rebbes in Europe not encouraging Aliyah, it's because the secular Zionism was already in play, and they didn't want their students mixing with the non-religious, you know, anti-religious, really, settlers at the time. That's the reason for that. But no question that in the first three quarters of the 1800s, Aliyah was strongly encouraged by Hasidic and non-Hasidic, many, not all, many Hasidic and non-Hasidic Dolim. So that's the historical context in which this Sefer Kol HaTor appeared piecemeal in the 1800s from different descendants of Rav Hillel Rivlin of Shklov. The Rav Volba, the great Baal Musar, writes that Rav Huttner told him that the Leshem, Rav Shlomo Eliasov, the maternal grandfather of Rav Elyashiv, said, so that Rav Huttner said that the expert in the writings of the Vilna Gaon, Kabbalistic writings of Vilna Gaon, was the Leshem. The full name of the Sefer is Leshem Shvo V'Achlama by Rav Shlomo Eliasov, but he's referred to as the Baal HaLeshem, and he never mentions this Sefer at all. Therefore, I, Rav Huttner, are very skeptical about this Sefer. If it was a legitimate Sefer from the Beis Medrash of the Vilna Gaon, then the Leshem would have encouraged its publication. On the other hand, Rav Volba writes, Rav Yoel Kluft, Rav in Haifa, and was Rav Volba's Rebbe in Kabbalah, he did believe it was an authentic Sefer, and the fact that there are things there that shock us doesn't mean that it's not a Sefer from the Beis Medrash of the Vilna Gaon. There are lots of things about the Vilna Gaon that shock us. I would add, that he doesn't say this, Gaon was a very strong proponent of the importance of secular knowledge. I'm not talking about going to college or anything like that. Of having secular knowledge. Vilna Gaon believed you could not understand Torah without all forms of secular knowledge. And the only thing he did not study was medicine, because his father told him, if you study medicine, you'll then have an obligation to, so to speak, join Hatzalah, and then you won't learn. He obviously didn't have Hatzalah in those days. You'd have an obligation to be out helping people all the time, and you wouldn't learn, so he didn't study medicine. But his students write about how he emphasized and carried out the importance of studying secular subjects. So today we have this idea, he studied math in the bathroom. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said about that, I don't think he sat that long. Okay. So there are lots of things about the Vilna Gaon that would shock us. And the fact that the things that we're going to see in this Sefer will shock us doesn't mean they're not from the Vilna Gaon. The Sefer Kol HaTor, I'm just going to run through it basically in order. And it's a lot of repetition in the Sefer. And as mentioned in a previous year, we apparently don't even have the whole thing. It's rather choppy and very repetitious, which lends, to credibility to those who doubt its authenticity as well. As I was learning it, I also thought a couple times, this sounds like modern Hebrew. This doesn't sound like early 1800s Hebrew, some of the things. For example, it uses the word... No, but...
Very right.
How do you say, for example, in Hebrew? So any yeshivish person would say, l'mashal. But he says, as they would say in modern Hebrew, l'dugma. Now, the word dugma does appear, I mean, it isn't an ancient word, but that's not typically how you say, for example, in yeshivish circles. So things, a couple things like that struck me. But I'm not a philologist nor an expert in ancient manuscripts, so. All right. In Perek Aleph, paragraph Bet, he says, well, let's start with paragraph Aleph. He says, when we are standing on the threshold of the beginning of the Ugeula, our Rabbeinu HaGra, our Rebbe, the Gra, commanded us and blessed us that we must study and understand the ways of the footsteps of Mashiach. And what are we? What we are supposed to do in response? Al pi Rabbeinu Agra, kol avodat kibbutz galuyot. According to Rabbeinu Agra, all the work of gathering in the exiles, binyan Yerushalayim, building Yerushalayim, v'archavat yishuv Eretz Yisrael, lachzarat Shechina, expanding the settlement of Eretz Yisrael to bring back the Shechina. All of these types of avoda, in all of their details, are the role of the first Mashiach, Mashiach ben Yosef, and it is the koach of Mashiach ben Yosef which helps us to awaken the geula through natural means. He then goes on and explains, mentioned yesterday that the last pasuk in last week's Haftorah contains the famous expression, Be'ita Achishena, which the Gemara later will say, it means, in its time, I will hasten it. If we are Zoche, Hashem will hasten the Geula, and if not, then the Geula will come in its time. It's Gemara later in our parak. One of the major chidushim of this sefer is that there are actually three possibilities, not two. He says this several times, that's a drasha. What the pasuk means, the pasuk says, Be'ita achishena, in its time I will hasten it. Gemara darshans, either in its time or I will hasten it. But ein mikra yotzei midei pshuto. Pasuk has a pashut pshat. And the pashut pshat is, in its time I will hasten it. What does that mean? So Rav Hillel of Shklov writes in the name of the Vilna Gaon, all of this is in the name of the Vilna Gaon, that the pshat of the pasuk is that even if Mashiach doesn't come early because of our merits, but at the very end of time, Mashiach can either appear suddenly, that's the drasha of Be'ita in its time, or Mashiach, even Be'ita Achishena, I can speed up the process at its proper time. In other words, at the very end of days, there could be a process of Geula, or there could be a sudden appearance of Geula. And so even if there's no sign that we've merited having Mashiach come early, but we could be going through a process of bringing Mashiach at the ultimate time, and it's a process that we can hasten through our actions, not necessarily through tshuva, but through our actions in resettling Eretz Yisrael, building Yerushalayim, and other things that we will mention. We said the other day, in the name of the Arizal, that in the bracha of Yerushalayim Yircha, the words V'chisei David, or V'chisei David Avdecha, depending on your nusach, is a reference to Mashiach ben Yosef. And one of the themes of this sefer, as Arizal alludes to there, is the importance of davening that Mashiach ben Yosef should not die. How are the words V'chisei David an allusion, the throne of David, an allusion to Mashiach ben Yosef. So Rav Hillel of Shklov explains that because one of the roles of Mashiach ben Yosef is rebuilding Yerushalayim, which will be the capital of Mashiach ben David, so by building a place for Mashiach ben David to place his throne, Mashiach ben Yosef is the throne of Mashiach ben David. That is the meaning of that allusion. That's according to him. That's the meaning of that allusion, the Arizal, that Mashiach ben Yosef is the throne of Mashiach ben David. He says that saw Midrashim about the that Mashiach ben Yosef will be killed by Armilus HaRasha. Who is Armilus HaRasha? He is the king of the Erev Rav. He explains that the Jewish people at the end of time will have three enemies. Yishmael, the Arabs, Esav, the Christians, and the Erev Rav, the enemies within ourselves, which he says are our worst enemies. I'm sure you've heard that expression, we're our own worst enemies. Well, the Vilna Gaon, according to Sefer Kol HaTor, foresaw that the worst, our worst enemies would be the Erev Rav within us. The exactly what the definition of that is, he doesn't say, but Armilus is the king of the Erev Rav. He says that Mashiach ben Yosef will live and will not be killed by Armilus.
Saying that Armilus is Jewish?
Sounds like it. It sounds like it. Again, I don't know how he is defining Erev Rav exactly. I do have a sefer, a more contemporary sefer that identifies by a contemporary Israeli Rosh Shiva, actually happens to be my Rebbe, who identifies exactly who the Erev Rav are. But we're not going to discuss that here. It's more of a political sefer than anything else. Okay. It says that the decree that Mashiach ben Yosef be killed is annulled by, or will be annulled by, four factors. One, the length of the galus and the suffering of Mashiach ben Yosef during the long galus. Two, the sacrifices that all of the Jewish people will make under the guidance of Mashiach ben Yosef to gather in the exiles. Third, the suffering of Eretz Yisrael. And fourth, our tefillos. And anybody who engages in gathering in the exiles lightens the burden and the suffering of Mashiach ben Yosef. He brings a medrash, has a mashal, lemelech shekaasal bano, a king who was angry at his son, and he swore in his anger to throw a boulder at his son. When he came back to his senses, he realized he didn't want to throw a boulder at his son. So what did he do? He chopped up the boulder into pebbles and threw pebbles at his son until the whole boulder, what used to be the boulder, was thrown at his son. The same way, Hashem takes prophecies about terrible tragedies and breaks them up into little pieces. So, as we saw alluded to by Rav Nosson Shapira last week, the Megala Amukos, the suffering of Mashiach ben Yosef can be divided over the long galus so that he won't have to die. He points out, we'll come back to who or what is Mashiach ben Yosef momentarily. He says that the role of Mashiach ben Yosef encompasses three things. One, revealing the secrets of Torah, part of the process of bringing the Geula through Mashiach ben Yosef, according to Rav Hillel of Shklov. We also saw this last week from, alluded to by Chozem Lublin, a Hasidish Rebbe, is studying Kabbalah. Again, I'm not advocating that all of us run out and study Kabbalah. It's for the right people, but or it's to be taught to us by the right people. But that's part of the process. The second is gathering in the exiles. And the third is eradicating Tumah from Eretz Yisrael, eradicating impure things or forces. Gathering in the exiles has three parts: building Yerushalayim, gathering in the exiles, and restarting the observance of the mitzvos of Eretz Yisrael. Prior to the 1800s, really the late 1800s, the very small Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael was never engaged in farming. So the mitzvos of the agricultural mitzvos, Truman, Maser, and Shemitah, and all of that, were not being observed. That's why you find for the first time in the late 1800s the question of what do we do about Shemitah and the whole concept of selling the land for Shemitah, that whole very large debate that took place before the Shemitah of 1887, I think it was. Tuf Resh Mem Zion, I think, was a Shemitah, was around, somewhere around there. And that's when we first find this big debate about selling the land, because it was a point before that. There was no farming. Jews were not farming in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, for the most part, Goyim were not farming in Eretz Yisrael. We'll see later in the Gemara the idea that Eretz Yisrael will be desolate until Hashem is ready, and it is a fact that only when, in this case, the secular Zionists, for the most part, came to Eretz Yisrael in the late 1800s and early 1900s, started draining the swamps and getting rid of the mosquitoes, and did Eretz Yisrael become an agricultural? Was there a possibility of agriculture in Eretz Yisrael? Again, it's well documented. How you interpret it is a different story, but the facts themselves are well documented. He points out that the second Beis HaMikdash also was built through natural means. The Geula came with the permission of the king of Persia, with financial support from the king of Persia. The redemption happened entirely through natural means, and he says that this is the model that the third Geula will follow. It will be with the permission of the nations. Okay. Some people, obviously, long after this Sefer was written, but the Balfour Declaration, 1917, some people say that's what the Vilna Gaon was hinting to. If the Vilna Gaon actually said this at all. That is the model. We know that one of the hallmarks of Yosef, Pasuk says in Parshat Vayeshev, Kol asher hu oseh Hashem otzlich v'yado. Whatever he does, Hashem causes to succeed. Mashiach ben Yosef, Yosef himself, and therefore Mashiach ben Yosef, is a doer. Someone who uses action to make things happen. That's how Yosef was. We say in davening, Uval Tzion Goel, that the Redeemer will come to Tzion. Tzion is Yerushalayim. There's got to be a Yerushalayim for the Redeemer to come to. An allusion to the idea that Yerushalayim will be built before Mashiach ben David comes. And there's an explicit medrash, Ein ben David ba'ad shetei Yerushalayim nivneit. Ben David will not come until Yerushalayim is rebuilt. There's a lot of gematrias in this Sefer. For example, Ezra, Nehemiah is the same gematria as Yoshua. Yoshua was from Shevet Ephraim. Yoshua was the one who brought the Jews into Eretz Yisrael. He explains, and Ezra Nehemiah was the spirit of Yoshua in some form, whether they were Gilgulim or had part of the neshama of Yoshua or just represent the same concept as Yoshua. Ezra Nehemiah were the leaders at the time of the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, which was a natural process. And Yoshua is from Ephraim, Mashiach ben Ephraim, Mashiach ben Yosef. Pay attention to the Haftorah on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. According to the Vilna Gaon, it is all a nevuah about Mashiach ben Yosef. One of the sukkim there is, Kimidei dabri bo as I speak of him, Zachar Ezkerenu, I will remember him, which translates in Sefer Kol HaTorah into a mitzvah, obviously, presumably Drabanan, it's in Sefer Yirmiyah, but an obligation, we'll call it, not a mitzvah, an obligation to constantly speak about Mashiach ben Yosef. By speaking about Mashiach ben Yosef, because it says, Midei Davribo, whenever I speak about him, Zachor Ezkerenu, I will remember him. By speaking about him, we arouse Hashem's mercy on us and on Mashiach ben Yosef. And he says it that entire parak, and he points out that that the natural rebuilding of Eretz Yisrael will be filled with suffering. That same chapter of Navi, the Haftorah for the second day of Rosh Hashanah, is the source of the famous pasuk Rachel Mevakal Banea. Rachel is crying for her children. Why is she crying for her children? Because of the suffering that will accompany the natural rebuilding of Eretz Yisrael. He also talks about here, it's a little off topic, so I'm not going to go into it in detail, but I said there are a lot of gematrias, and one of the things that he talks about here is the importance of a person using the gematria of his own name to figure out what his role is in this world. And the Vilna Gaon himself was known to do that. For example, in Parsha 2 weeks ago, Parsha Ki Tetzé, we have the mitzvah of honest weights. So Pasuk says, Evan Shlema, a whole stone, that you shouldn't shave the weights. You should use the whole stone. So the Vilna Gaon said, Evan Shlema, Aleph Beis Nun, is Eliyahu ben Shlomo. So one of his students asked him, but your father's name is Shlomo Zalman, not Shlomo. So he said that if you take Eliyahu ben Shlomo, take the letters that are not shown. It's in here somewhere. I don't remember exactly. But so the Lamed, Yod, He, Vav, and the Nun, I think, of Ben equals Gematria of Zalman, something like that. And what's the significance of that? Well, right after that comes, right after that pasuk is a parsha of Amalek. Yoshua, from Shevet Ephraim, from Shevet Yosef, was the one who fought Amalek. Part of the process of bringing about the redemption is fighting Amalek. How do we fight Amalek? By rebuilding Eretz Yisrael. That's what he says. And what comes next in the Torah? Vayaki tavo al aretz, when you will come to the land. So the he says, Rav Hillel of Shklov says, that the Vilna Gaon himself saw himself as a piece of Mashiach ben Yosef, just like the Arizal did, we saw last week. There's a famous journey of the Vilna Gaon to Eretz Yisrael. He never made it, turned around. A lot of mystery about why was he going. He wasn't making Aliyah. He left his wife and children behind. His famous letter, Igeres Hagra, is a letter that he wrote to his wife when he was on his way to Eretz Yisrael. So what was he doing? So according to Rav Hillel of Shklov, the Vilna Gaon, who saw himself as Mashiach ben Yosef or as an aspect of Mashiach ben Yosef, was going to Eretz Yisrael to see what he could do for the resettlement of Eretz Yisrael. Along the way, he raised himself to such a high spiritual level that the neshama of Yoshua bin Nun left him and the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu came into him instead. Moshe Rabbeinu was not Mashiach ben Yosef, and Moshe Rabbeinu cannot go into Eretz Yisrael. So the Vilna Gaon turned around, came home, and told his students to make Aliyah, just like Moshe Rabbeinu told his student Yoshua to lead the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael. These are all things that I'm only aware of that from here. Most of what I'm telling you now, we only find here, which, like I said, a lot of the content here is surprising. or we only have a couple more minutes. So who is Mashiach ben Yosef? He says that Mashiach ben Yosef has three aspects. One is there's a malach called, who's referred to as Matat, Mem Tet Tet, who is, he's one of his names is the Sar HaPnim, the interior minister. He's, so to speak, the prime minister of the angels. You asked, the reason I read the Gemara again was to show you that it was the Midas Adin that said Chizkiah should not be Mashiach, and the Sar HaOlam, who said that he should be Mashiach. The Sar HaOlam, according to Rav Ruven Margolios's Encyclopedia of Malachim, is this same Malach. So in heaven, that Malach is Mashiach ben Yosef. On earth, every tzaddik who, in every generation, who furthers these three goals, or partially furthers these three goals of promoting the study of Torah, especially Kabbalah, and the settlement of Eretz Yisrael and removing Tumah from Eretz Yisrael, is also a piece of Mashiach ben Yosef. And third, every single Jew has within him some aspect of Mashiach ben Yosef, because every single Jew can participate in these activities. Is he saying that there's actually no person at all, no one person who is Mashiach ben Yosef? I'm not sure. But he's certainly saying that everybody has within him some aspect of Mashiach ben Yosef, which is to be actualized through the process of rebuilding Eretz Yisrael. There's more along these same lines in the Sefer. As you can see, it's not something that everybody agrees with. There are those who don't think we should be building Eretz Yisrael, or if we should, it's certainly not a messianic process. But these are the views attributed to the Vilna Gaon in this Sefer called HaTorah. Have a good day. Thank you.